Blog Talk Radio.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free, and I won't forget the men who died.
God bless the USA, and that's what this country is all about. The foundation of this country is to have a perfect union. That's what we strive for. In 1789, March 1789, the Constitution is adopted, and President George Washington becomes the commander-in-chief of the Army and the Navy. We had just basically fought the Revolutionary War. But I wanted to take a look here. We the people, the Constitution of the United States, the preamble. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain, and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Article 1, Section 1. All legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in a Congress of the United States, which shall consist of a Senate and House of Representatives. Does this sound familiar? Have you been watching any of the news lately? What's going on in our government right now? Section 2, the House of Representatives shall be composed of members chosen every second year by the people of the several states, and the electors in each state shall have the qualifications requisite for electors of the most numerous branch of the state legislature. No person shall be a representative who shall not have attained to the age of 25 years and been 7 years a citizen of the United States, and who shall not, when elected, be an inhabitant of that state in which he shall be chosen. They have to be an inhabitant of that state in which they have been chosen. These are just some of the things that we're looking at when we're talking about the Constitution of the United States. This is what the freedoms we are basically guaranteed by the Constitution of the United States. And so it is important for us to learn the Constitution. High schoolers, it's important that you all learn and read the Constitution. You may not be getting this in public school, but it's important that you do this on your own, if not, because this is the document that we stand on, our freedoms stand on. And so I think it's important. That's why the Revolutionary War was fought, so that these things would be preserved. We're going to look a little bit farther ahead here. I just think that it's all very important to us, because the Constitution is our bread and butter for which our government works and how it is supposed to work. And so what we're looking at right now, Article 2, Section 1, the executive power shall be vested in a president of the United States of America. He shall hold his office during the term of 4 years, and together with the vice president, chosen for the same term, be elected as follows. So you just see how this is building blocks here. You see how all of this is taking place. And this would be challenged. This young Constitution would be severely challenged very early on. There is no question about that. The 1812, there was a massive challenge to it. England again. War is declared against Great Britain on June 18th. 1812. And with that, this is what we sound like right here.
In 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we caught the bloody British in a town in New Orleans. We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. We looked down a river and we see the British come, and there must have been 100 of them beating on the drums. They stepped so high and they made the bugles ring. We stood beside our cotton bales and didn't say a thing. We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. Old Hickory said we could take them by surprise. If we didn't fire a musket, still we looked them in the eye. We held our fire till we see their faces well. Then we opened up our squirrel guns and really gave them well. We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. We grabbed an alligator and we fought another round. We filled his head with cannonballs and powdered his behind. And when we touched the powder off, the gator lost his mind. We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. Yeah, they ran through the briars and they ran through the brambles and they ran through the bushes where a rabbit couldn't go. They ran so Mexico.
the Battle of New Orleans. And really, to be honest, the Battle of New Orleans, if we'd had modern technology today, or then as we do today, that battle would never have taken place, because they did not realize that the war was over by that time. And so Andrew Jackson and that great Battle of New Orleans would not have actually happened if they would have had a phone call and say, hey, the war is over. But as it was, the Battle of New Orleans was a terrible defeat for the British. But with the win, with the Americans winning that battle, winning that war, the Constitution continued to strive and grow as our country began to go westward, westward, westward. And when you look at this, when you look at the Congress of the United States, this is important, all these different amendments. Article 1 of the Constitution, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. This is a very basic American right, the freedom of religion. And we are seeing this being trampled on so much with secularism and hitting our country today. This is something that we have to stand for. And another one, Article 2, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, the basic right to bear arms, now they're trying to take that right away from you. And so that's why it's important for us to know our rights. Article 3, no soldier shall in the time of peace be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in the time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. That means that they can't come in and take my house without my consent unless it is very, very drastic. We're in a real bad, and if they need my house, we are in trouble. But that is the truth. And so, but all of these articles, this Constitution that we're standing on, and I'm just giving bits and pieces of it because it's just, I think it's very important, and I want to inspire people to really take it out and read it. Go over it. Cover it. Maybe you've been out of school for a while and you haven't seen it for a long time. Well, I would encourage you to just pull it out and take a gander at it. Take a look at it, because this is important stuff. This is very important. Our rights depend on it. The Bill of Rights come out of it, all these things that we're doing. And so all of this is right. Know your rights and know why we are proud to be an American, as the song says in the early going, and why it's important for us to uphold our Constitution. Whenever a soldier enlists in the United States, we take and make that proud oath that we stand for the Constitution of the United States, that we will defend it. And that is, foreign against foreign and any enemy, foreign or domestic. And that's why I think it's very important. And we looked at the wars, the battles that, not necessarily all the battles, but the different conflicts that the United States was in. And we've been in quite a few of them from the inception of our history. The Indian Wars that were raging, going all the way back before we became a country, the French and Indian War. There is a lot of bad stuff that's taken place in the United States. And things have always taken place that we have to try to stand on, to defend ourselves against those who would take away this freedom of ours. And we had some internal struggles. Slavery was a major issue back in the early 1800s. And so much so, the Baptist Church split. In 1848, the Southern Baptist Church began. And it was as a result of the slavery. That was the main issue that was driving division in the United States. And the Baptist Church, like I said, had a major split. That's where the Southern Baptist Church comes from in 1848. Not only that, but the Southern states, for a lot of those representatives going to the Baptist annual conventions, those were kind of cumbersome. So division kind of had some other issues too, but slavery was the main one. And that would lead to a civil war. This would be, a lot of it was on state rights. That was a major issue of the Civil War. But slavery had a major part of it. So slavery, states' rights, and just the climate of the times was causing a huge wedge between the North and the South. And so there was the winds of war that took place. And it was just never pretty.
You fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb. I saw you a-marching with Robert E. Lee. You held your head high, trying to win the victory. You fought for your folks, but you didn't die in vain. Even though you lost, they speak highly of your name. 'Cause you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb. I heard your teeth chatter from the cold outside. Saw the bullets open up the wounds in your side. I saw the young boys as they began to fall. You had tears in your eyes, 'cause you couldn't help it all. But you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb. I saw General Lee raise a saber in his hand. Heard the cannons roar as you made your last stand. You marched into battle with the gray and the red. When the cannon smoke cleared, took days to count the dead. 'Cause you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb. When Honest Abe heard the news about your fall, the folks thought he'd call a great victory ball. But he asked the band to play the song Dixie for you, Johnny Reb, and all that you believe. 'Cause you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. Yeah, you fought all the way, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. Yeah, you fought.
That was amazing. You know, just a terrible, terrible time in America. In fact, that is the worst war in American history, the Civil War. More people, you know, brother against brother, relatives, you know, states were divided. It was just a terrible situation that took place, and many young men, you know, died in this war. As a combat medic, many of them died because they bled out. They didn't have the understanding in those days of tourniquets as much. I mean, you know, a lot of soldiers would have died if they had medics out there. Perhaps many of those soldiers might not have died. But because they bled out or they had wounds, infection, there was a lot of things that took place. So as a result of it, we learned a lot from it in how to handle and to get soldiers back out on the battlefield, actually. That's what the combat medic does today, specifically, is to help keep that fighting force out there, because a lot of things can bring down an army, not just bullets. It could be disease, a number of things like that that can, you know, preventive med is very huge and important when we're dealing with going to some of these countries because of disease. You can have, that's why we take all kinds of vaccinations and shots before we go there. I remember when we went to Saudi Arabia, we had to have that Gosh, those shots that felt like a baseball going inside your rear end. You know, that's what the hepatitis A has replaced. Oh, my goodness. Well, yeah, there were some things that we just don't never forget. But during the Civil War, they didn't have a lot of these, the medical treatment and the ability that we have today. And so a lot of young men died, and I don't want to say needlessly, it's just the way it was back in them days. They went by with what they had in those times. And so it was just a terrible time. That was just the way it was out in the West as we moved forward. Again, you know, the Indian Wars that took place. The Army is called, in 1894, the Army is called out to restore order in five states when violence erupts over labor strikes. We see that a lot taking place in our history. Labor, you know, the economy is such an important aspect to our way of life. And so when the economy goes bad, it's not good for anybody. And that's when things get really restless. And when people have no opportunity, they get involved in other, you know, that's where gang violence gets, you know, today. That's a major problem with today. We have a lot of gangs out there because they're trying to make money using illegal means, using drugs and whatnot. They're doing all kinds of illegal things coming across the border. A lot of things are happening right now that shouldn't be happening, and it's threatening our very own country. And this would lead all the way up until the First and Second World War. These wars were horrendous in what they've had in the 20th century. No other century has had more bloodshed than what we saw in the 20th century. And those are terrible, terrible, terrible realities. I was in a unit back in Germany, when I was in Germany in 1986 through 89, I was with the 3rd ID. And the 3rd ID, most of you who have been associated with the 3rd ID will recognize this song right here.
Keep me in my own.
We used to hear that and have to sing that all the time, every day. It was a major thing that we all had to do. So anybody who was with the Third ID is very familiar with that. And I was over there for 3 years with the Rock of the Marne in Germany. Now the Third ID is no longer there anymore. They're now at Fort Stewart, Georgia, in Hinesville, Georgia, Fort Stewart, Georgia. And that's very, very interesting. And so when I talk to people with the Third ID anymore, it's been a long time ago. When I was over there between 86 and 89, a lot of people weren't even born yet. Some of them haven't even been born yet. So when I talk to people, they only identify with it now over at Fort Stewart. I was at Fort Stewart myself, but that was with the 24th mechanized. That wasn't the Third ID at that time. So that was part of the coming home from Germany that the Third ID division was doing. But they still maintain that tradition, though. They still maintain that song. It's not necessarily Rock of the Marne anymore, but at the same time, it's the same unit, and who knows, they may go back eventually. I do have kind of an interesting story there, but when I was in Germany, within a year, I was promoted to specialist and received a lateral transfer to corporal, and by my third year there, I was promoted to sergeant, so I was doing pretty good as promotions go. This began my leadership in the Army, and what a great opportunity this was for me. What a great opportunity this was for me, because that's something that I would be able to do and grow as a leader. And I would be given a task, and it was my responsibility to exercise that leadership style that I was growing into. I was responsible for putting together a counseling packet for my troops. I ensured my soldiers understood my expectations and received information from them to help know their situations. To know your personnel is vital, to know their strengths and weaknesses to motivate them to improve. In my early days serving the Army, my leadership, loved me because I was a strong worker. You need a GP medium to tent to be put up? I was called upon to set it up. A GP small? Not a problem. You need a camouflage over vehicles? I always had a lot of fun with a good attitude in helping make us the best we could be. I was always competitive that way. I was awarded the Impact Archon by a two-star general, Major General Kalchu, for saving the life of a German national at Grafenwehr, April 1989. I was lifted up like a real hero. But all of this was made possible because of the supervisory planning I had enacted for this 30-day commitment. I had training taking place at each of the sites that I was responsible. And I was checking on my troops. I was at the right place at the right time. And sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, that's all it is. I mean, sometimes it's just a matter of luck. That's really what it amounts to. And so for me, that has always been something. I mean, it was cool to got that award and the story on how I got that award. But for me, anybody that we were able to help, civilian or family members or whatever, from the medical perspective, that has, to me, is always the biggest and most important thing. I just never did get into doing things for awards. But my award was, specifically was serving my country and doing the right thing and helping those who needed help. And when someone was thankful and they came back and said thank you, in fact, a lot of times they would write something up for the hospital commander or somebody, my commander or something, to say they really appreciated the work that I did or one of my soldiers did, that to me meant a lot. That meant a lot because I think that's just good business. And so the military is a great place to go. But it wasn't always that way. Because after we got past World War II and we got into the Korean War and then the Vietnam War, these things were very highly political. And I mentioned this before the past show, but it is so important to do so again, because if we were there to win a war, I think we'd always had the public support. But when you get into a situation where it's a political war and it drags on and it drags on and it drags on, then people's morale gets down, people's support goes down. And when you don't have a real objective, when there's not a in or out or anything that really gives you a clear means of victory, we're hurting ourselves. And so these political wars just do not do us well. And this was probably one of the most popular songs during that time. I love that scene in Forrest Gump when they're in a helicopter flying over and getting ready to land when they're going into Vietnam, and you have that song in the background. It's just there's something about that scene and how that plays into the Forrest Gump movie. Myself, I would be assigned with the 2-5 Cav, 1st Cav Division, which would really be important for my career in the Army. It was between October 2006 through January 2008 that we were deployed to Iraq, and that took great planning from all elements. I was an important player for the division, brigade, and battalion, or battalion, brigade, division, however you want to look at it. I would be given an opportunity to affect the entire war in Iraq at that time. Early on, I was out with the scouts, the PSD, who were visiting various villages. And on one occasion, when our platoon leader was talking with the village chief, I was called upon to take care of a little girl who had suffered some burns because she had poured boiling water on her face and upper chest. By the time I saw her, I had been there, it had been 3 days, and she was healing pretty nicely. So I applied dry, sterile bandages and gave the mother some extra supplies. Through this experience, I came up with a plan to create a separate medical kit specific for Iraqi people we would encounter every day. And so I went to our brigade surgeon and our battalion surgeon with this idea, and I came up with Iraqi supplies that my medics would be able to use to help out the people that we met going to village to village. At the time, the Iraqi Administration of Health was nowhere and the people had no place to go. And so supervisory planning here was a great tool for me, as my medics would have an effect that with thousands of missions. As a result of this, we helped change the heart and mind of the younger Iraqi men who were fighting Americans because of their perception of us as the invaders to actually seeing us there as there to help. Many of them began helping us against Al-Qaeda, which saved many American lives. We went from being hit by enemy attacks from several hundred times in a month to less than 10 in a three-month period. I was honored by our battalion commander for this effort. At this same time, well, not just me, but my medics, all of us, our platoon. At this time, I was an important asset for our battalion, for our brigade dealing with the enemy prisoners of war as well. I developed an important standard operating procedure in handling prisoners of war. Previously, the propaganda campaign by the enemy, Al-Qaeda, wanted to attack Americans accusing us of mistreating prisoners of war. They tried to make this a political ploy. Considering that they would cut people's heads off, I thought that was rather offensive, but I developed a plan for our battalion that stopped all the accusations. A medic had to be responsible whenever a POW to provide medical screen with pictures that gave proof that we were not knocking them around. That changed the enemy's propaganda war machine to nothing. And I would be called upon to see children who were born with birth defects, and there was very little that you could do for them. But I was able to use American channels to help some of these families. I was able to help families go out of Iraq where Israeli doctors were able to help them. Ain't that something? And this was a major thing, and this had a cause and effect. So these things helped us in the political war too, and trying to do good, changing people's hearts and minds. Our battalion became the main offensive going to the Abu Ghraib area, where American soldiers had not been in part of that area. This was a very dangerous mission, as we were tasked to set up a joint security station, JSS, in that area. Abu Ghraib was the prison that made international news because of American soldiers were seen abusing Iraqi prisoners. This did not help our cause in Iraq. We had always made our own sand tables to demonstrate our plan, part of the mission. I was not really aware that people could come up with such a plan. These are something that we always did, rock tables. And so that's what we did. And I had to give the medical support on how we were going to handle our going into this area of operation that we were getting ready to go into. It was very dangerous. And so with orders to go to this area, I was to provide the plan for medical support for our unit that included setting up landing zones, the LZs for medevac in case of enemy attacks in this hostile environment. And I also had to have several supporting elements out there setting up as casualty collection points. This was a major push coming from division, and so using the sand table, I had to give the outline that would provide and to show the medical support. These were always interesting because every element had to do the same thing. But anyway, while out on patrol, I was supporting our F Company element, who was tagging along with our Echo Foxtrot Company element, who was tagging along with our Echo Company element en route through enemy hostile territory. And we were attacked. And the vehicle right in front of me was hit by an improvised explosive device. That's an IED. The explosion caused a huge blast, causing chaos, which we responded quickly. With repressive gunfire, I grabbed my aid bag and began treating the wounded. I made the call to send the wounded, once treated, to take them by ground to the nearest LZ that I had set up 5 miles away. The land area was not a great place to bring down a helicopter at that point, so it was the best thing to do to send them back to where there was a good landing zone that we had set. I treated and policed the wounded in 10 minutes, getting them out of that hot area, and called my treatment team at the LZ of the wounded coming. A Black Hawk helicopter was ready, already given the 9-line medevac request, and on their way they were on their way. At the end of the day, the wounded arrived at the green zone within 45 minutes, and they all lived. That's what we call the golden hour. If you get wounded to the operating table within that hour, that's what they call the golden hour, and their chances of survival is greatly enhanced. If it's not a catastrophic kill, the opportunity is greatly enhanced. That's what I was saying, that where we heard in the Civil War, they didn't have this mechanism, they didn't have this understanding or means. And so many died on the battlefield in the Civil War, where here, soldiers that we took care of and got them out of there survived. And to me, that is just a miracle of what we have today. Medics today are able to save a lot of lives. And we're able to, in that circumstance, do a whole lot more than what you would see an EMT do or even a paramedic might do here in the United States. Because of a war zone, you have a lot more opportunity to help others with your medical skill. You grow in your medical skill. So technically, we would be the equivalent of a paramedic out there. But we do a lot more, potentially more, working under the care of the PA and the doctor. So you have to work within their license. But when you're out there and it's a life or limb situation, you do what you can to save life. But so anytime we are ordered to set up a medical forward aid station, supervising planning became easier because of the experience and training that we prepared our subordinates. And that helped us make the finest medical platoon in theater. And I'm so proud of all the medics that served with me. And so January 2009, we would also go back to Iraq and Sadr City. We were there for Sadr City. We were there for all of these circumstances and situations. So these are just stories that we're talking about now of our own experience. But all of these things is grounded. We need to keep and maintain that ground of who and why we're there. And hopefully we don't fall into what's happening today. Oh, I hate to see what's happening in Iraq and the potential Iran involvement today.
Near the Holy Land, Iraq used to be a superpower, known as Babylon. That's the scene of that big tower. Babylon was really strong, but over time would taste defeat. Iran sitting on Iraqi's map, they had the Persians and the Medes. Iraqis, they hated Iran, but they were cut off in 539 B.C. Babylon had fallen, but what would Persia do about Greece? I say, oh yeah, life goes on, long after the threats of little nations. The 5th century, 'cause that's what I'm saying now. Oh yeah!
Kind of looking at this a little bit, during my time in the Army, I was an active NCO, non-commissioned officer, for 23 of those 26 years plus that I served. 14 of those 26 years I served was as a senior NCO, non-commissioned officer. Looking back, I trained several thousand soldiers their combat lifesaver certification, and that's important because medics couldn't always be at every place at every time, and so they may need help. And so we trained combat lifesavers, and that is to help save. And they're able to do some of the simple things to take care of and helped us out greatly in saving people's lives. And the idea of the combat lifesaver on the battlefield, now a lot of the – well, in fact, it is mandatory for units to have a certain element – of their numbers to be combat lifesaver now, qualified. And so we always maintain those standards now. Working for the MEPS, I was involved with over 8,000 applicants who joined the military services. During all this time I served in the military, I experienced and learned what supervisory planning was, which was key to my success in the military. So supervisory planning is something that is important no matter what you're doing, whether you're in the military or you're working as a supervisor in any capacity anywhere. So looking again, I just felt that this was important. And what is the mission over the course of 26 years? I had thousands of them. Yeah, I mean, there were so many things that you just can't count all the missions that you were responsible for, daily things, soldiers, issues, so many of them. In the old days, we did not complain about the mission, at least most of us didn't, at least to others, but maybe internal. But it seems as time goes on, that is all we hear. Why? It is important for the supervisor to keep their soldiers informed. Sometimes that is not always an easy answer, but it's also, what is the mission? You know, what are you out to do? What is the purpose? What is the goal? And so that's where the commanders on down have to put that information out. And it is important to teach and lead your troops to be, if something happened to you, somebody else has to step up. And so to train the fighting force for the future. And that's probably one of the biggest pride things, that I feel proud about, is how many of my soldiers have done well since since I've retired. I'm just so proud of them because they're doing so well. And so there are a lot of positives. We also have some issues that we will always have to contend with when we're dealing with the military and dealing with society and politics, because right now it's not an easy situation in the military right now as what's going on in our military. So I encourage and I ask people to please pray for our military. Pray for those who are in positions of authority, that they will come to understand that, you know, our country is not free, and that our military must be strong. Cohesion must be strong. The ability to maintain cohesion must be strong. The military is not a place for social engineering. And I'm afraid that's what we're turning it into right now. And that's where our society has headed. And right now our military is in a state where, well, there's a lot of unrest. There's a lot of problems there. So we want to pray for our soldiers, pray for the families of our soldiers, because that is where our freedom lies. And when we were talking about the Constitution earlier, that's what we got to defend, and that's what we got to stay strong in. And the flag, to bring back respect to the flag, because the flag represents those freedoms that we uphold and cherish, so that our young people, our young children today, can have the opportunities that we grew up with. That's what all this is about, ladies and gentlemen. And so our encouragement to, you know, to the right to life, the freedom to be able to worship God in freedom, the worship to be able to go to the church, to have the freedom to do that, to maintain it, to stand up for values. These things are liberty. True liberty is to be able to worship God in freedom. And so this must be maintained. And if we don't stand up for it, we'll lose it. That is an obvious fact. So those things that helps remind us what those things are, like the American flag, what does the red stand for? It stands for the blood of those who fell for this country, for the freedoms we have. The white stands for the purity of that. Even though that our nation has made mistakes, and we do have mistakes, that purity represents that attainable goal that we strive for. And blue represents the truth by which we stand. So when you see American flag, do not be afraid to give honor. Do not be afraid to say, hey, I'm proud to be an American. God bless you all. Good night.
I walked through a county courthouse square. On a park bench, an old man was sitting there. I said, your old courthouse is kind of run down. He said, no, it'll do for our little town. I said, your old flagpole is leaned a little bit, and that's a ragged old flag you got hanging on it. He said, have a seat. And I sat down. Is this the first time you've been to our little town? I said, I think it is. He said, I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag. You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across the Delaware. And it got powder burned the night that Francis Scott Key sat watching it write and say, can you see? And it got a bad rip in New Orleans with Pakenham and Jackson tugging at its seams. And it almost fell at the Alamo beside the Texas flag, but she waved on, though. She got cut with a sword at Chancellorsville, and she got cut again at Shiloh Hill. There was Robert E. Lee, Beauregard, and Bragg, and the south wind blew hard on that ragged old flag. On Flanders Field in World War I, she got a big hole from a Bertha gun. She turned blood red in World War II. She hung limp and low a time or two. She was in Korea, Vietnam. She went where she was sent by her Uncle Sam. She waved from our ships upon the briny foam, and now they've about quit waving back here at home. In her own good land here, she's been abused. She's been burned, dishonored, denied, and refused. And the government for which she stands is scandalized throughout the land. And she's getting threadbare and she's wearing thin, but she's in good shape for the shape she's in. 'Cause she's been through the fire before, and I believe she can take a whole lot more. So we raise her up every morning, we take her down every night, we don't let her touch the ground, and we fold her upright. On second thought, I do like to brag, 'cause I'm mighty proud of that ragged old flag.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.